One of the most surprising discoveries I have found in church history that Christians usually did not realize or recognize the effects their actions had when they heeded Christ's words, "Let your light so shine before men that they might see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven."
Dr. Alvin Schmidt speaking at this year's Issues, Etc. Making the Case Conference.
Their actions were byproducts of God's redeeming love that was theirs in the crucified and risen life of Jesus Christ. In time, many Christian values and practices became integrated parts of Western culture. And the Christians didn't really quite realize it, as we don't to this day.
You can listen to Dr. Schmidt's presentation, Making the Case for Christianity's Positive Impact on Civilization, on our new audio DVD from the Making the Case Conference. We'll send it to you for a donation of $300. For more information, look for the DVD logo at issuesetc.org.
It's so much more work to have children, Diaz told Esquire, to have lives besides your own that you're responsible for. I didn't take that on. That did make things easier for me. Not having a baby might really make things easier, Diaz told Esquire, but that doesn't make it an easy decision.
That's NBC's Today Show correspondent Kate Snow quoting actress Cameron Diaz from a recent Esquire magazine interview. Why she has chosen up to this point not to have children, especially when it's all the rage among the Hollywood glitterati to have children. Everybody's having kids. Cameron Diaz says, no, it's too hard, and it just makes life easier not to have children. Well, children are certainly a task. There's no doubt about that. Anyone who's raised children can agree with that. But what do we make of statements coming from the celebrity classes about having children or not having children? Greetings and welcome to Issues, Etc. We're coming to you live from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Dr. Jennifer Roback Morris will be our guest from the Ruth Institute to respond to some of the things that Cameron Diaz has been saying about not having children. A little bit later, we'll talk media coverage of two recent Supreme Court decisions, the abortion buffer zones and the HHS contraception mandate. Bobby Rush Jr. will be our guest from GetReligion.org. We'll spend the next half hour with Gretchen Pasentino-Coburn talking about the martyrdom of the Bob. Now, you might not have heard of the Bob, but you've probably heard about the Baha'i religion. Well, the Bob was one of its prophets, and he was killed by, I believe, the Persian army way back in 1850, and they remember his martyrdom. They commemorate his martyrdom among the Baha'i. We'll talk about the Baha'i faith and the martyrdom of the Bob. In hour two of Issues, Etc., Dr. John Warwick Montgomery will join us. We'll answer the simple apologetic question, who is Jesus? Our call-in number for the next hour of the program, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. Send us an email, talkback at issuesetc.org, or a tweet at issuesetc. Dr. Jennifer Roback Morris is founding president of the Ruth Institute, based in San Marcos, California. She taught economics for 15 years at Yale and George Mason Universities, and she is author of the books Smart Sex and Love in Economics. Jennifer, welcome back.
Hi, Todd. Thanks for having me.
What was your first reaction when you heard Cameron Diaz opining on how difficult it would be for her and her career to have had children?
Well, isn't she married?
I do not know if she's married or not. That doesn't seem to actually even figure into the equation here in terms of whether celebrities are married or not, I guess.
If she's not married and she's 40 years old, I think not having a baby is entirely appropriate. And if she is married, which I don't think she is, but if she is married, she has no business saying, I am not having a baby. She should be saying, we are not having a baby. So, you know, I feel like she's under pressure from the other celebrities to come out with some kind of a statement about why she doesn't have kids. She shouldn't have kids. An unmarried woman who's 40 years old shouldn't be having kids. That's it. End of story. But she's saying this stuff because I guess she thinks she has to. She has to have a reason to not have a baby.
Well, the biggest reason we hear, and the NBC Today Show story highlighted the fact that she is not alone among the celebrity classes in deciding not to have children. The biggest reason that is given by the celebrities from George Clooney all the way down to Cameron Diaz is, look, my career comes first, my work comes first. What's your reaction to that?
Right, right. And so that's a very sad thing for them to be saying, you know, because there's a kind of immaturity about it, that they don't really understand what children are all about and so on. And so there's something kind of sad about that. But it's probably best that they don't become parents if they don't really have any better idea about it than that. You know what I mean? Especially given that they can, through extraordinary means, if they want to, bring it about. So it's just too bad that people think that having children or not having children is something you kind of put on your day timer and you take care of it. It's on your to-do list, and if it's convenient, you check it off, and if it's not, you don't.
There seems to be a pretty strong either-or, and this is not just, again, well, this wouldn't just be the celebrities, Jennifer. This would be your average person on the street. The either-or is work, my life, my career, my income, my future, my retirement, or kids. Talk about that if you
want. Yeah, that's right. That's right. You know, children have become a choice for everybody, you know. And the way she frames the choice makes it a materialistic kind of consumerist calculation. I don't have time or money for a baby, so therefore I won't have one. But the fact is, every human person is a gift from God. And if you conceive inside a marriage, of course, a child should be viewed as a blessing. A child should be welcomed as a blessing. But nobody thinks like that. That's just a retro thing for us papists and Missouri Synod Lutherans to think like that, you know, that a child is a blessing and a gift from God. It's completely lost in our leadership classes, whether it be the political classes or the entertainment classes or the sports heroes or anybody else. You know, a child's either a lifestyle accessory or a nuisance that we shouldn't be bothered with. So it is kind of a sign of the times.
Well, address this as an economist. That's where your formal training lies. Someone's going to say, look, children are expensive and they are time consuming, and that's another expense, less tangible expense on my life. If I had to put them in a category, it would be the liability category rather than, in other words, they're going to end up costing me more than I'll ever get out of them. Even from an economic standpoint, is that necessarily true?
Well, you know, actually, in modern urban life, it actually kind of is true. You know, if you do the calculation and say, is it worth it? Do I benefit from it? The kinds of benefits that one receives from children are not the sort of thing that you can put easily on a spreadsheet. And so if you have this kind of calculating mentality, you're probably, number one, not even going to be aware of the benefits that you get from children because they're so intangible. And you have to be able to trust older people who have gone before you who can say to you, you know what, you're going to grow in ways from having children that you can't even imagine, that you can't even anticipate. Children are bring you all kinds of blessings. But unless you trust somebody older than you to tell you that and that you believe them when they tell you that, if all you have in front of you is your own calculations and your own experience, you'll never say it's time to have a baby. It'll never be worth it. You know, it'll never be cost effective. And indeed, a great many people are making exactly that calculation, which is why so few industrialized countries are reproducing themselves. It's why we're in demographic winter in so many countries and so many classes within countries.
Does this way of thinking about children as an economic liability, does it help explain to some degree the pro-abortion view?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Because, you know, we view a child, once you view a child as a choice, the only way you can be sure that you never have a child is to either be completely abstinent from sex or to be prepared to use abortion in the event of contraceptive failure, you know. And so that's the cultural ethos. The cultural ethos is that everybody's entitled to as much sex as we want without a live baby ever showing up. And the only way you can be sure that'll happen is to have abortion as a backup plan, because all forms of contraception fail sometimes. So the demand for abortion flows directly out of that mentality, which is that it's, you know, it's too expensive or it's too whatever. I don't want to have a child. And so, you know, therefore I'm entitled to abortion.
We've done interviews with other guests on barrenness and fertility, and one of the one of the common kind of the sad facts of that, people who are unable to have children often say, look, what I think about not only is what I'm missing today, but I think about when I get to be older, when I get to my final years, to have no children, no grandchildren around me. Should someone like Cameron Diaz, who is now kind of glibly saying, hey, it's too hard to have kids, my career comes first, should she think about herself not as young 40-year-old beautiful starlet, but as 80-year-old former starlet?
Yeah, right, right. Nobody ever does that. Nobody ever thinks that far ahead, you know, when they're talking like this. That thought came to my mind when you were quoting her, you know, that that at the end of your life, who's going to be there when you die? You know, you're going to be die among strangers, particularly if you have a long life and you outlive your friends, you know. In times past, if somebody talked the way she talks, you know, her grandma would have taken her aside and said, listen, dear, you need to stop thinking like that. You know, when you get to be my age, you'll be glad you have your kids, or you'll be glad you have your grandkids. But you know, number one, people aren't that close to their elders, and number two, people aren't listening to their elders. You know, so that kind of wisdom, that kind of, you know, let's look back from the end of our life, look back over the whole of our lifespan, and evaluate it. We're barely able to access that kind of wisdom, which in most civilizations, of course, that's foundational, you know, to learn from older people, to learn from what's gone before. That's precisely what you're supposed to do in order to keep your civilization going. And, you know, Todd, you and I are from the generation that said we would never trust anyone over 30. And now as we approach our Social Security years, we're kind of paying the price for that.
Finally, could part of this attitude about children, I'm not going to have them, they're too difficult, at least in the case of the celebrities who get to opine about these things in Esquire magazine, be fed by the fact that they know, look, I'm rich and I'm famous, and if I want a kid, I can have one in a week by whatever means. I can go over and I can be like Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie. I can adopt any time I want, any time I decide that a kid does fit into my life.
You can do that, or you can buy somebody's eggs and sperm and do a surrogacy, or, you know, there are all kinds of options available to people. You know, you hear stories about 60-year-old women having children through the marvels of modern technology. So part of what that does to us, Todd, is it takes the finality out of it. You know, men have always had this possibility of becoming a, you know, father of a child when they're the age of Abraham or something. Men have always had that as a live possibility. Women, not so much. And so because of that, women have always been the ones to have a kind of urgency. You know, look, honey, it's time to have kids. We need to get on with it, you know, kind of a thing. But that's increasingly going away as people see the kind of children not as something that you have from your own body, but something you acquire through one kind of a market or another. Then it can be, the child can be the capstone of your brilliant career and your acquisition of wealth. And so there is a way that those possibilities, whether it be through celebrity adoption or whether it be through ART, artificial reproductive technologies, there's a way that that's changing the way in which we look at children in the first place. And it distorts our decision-making all up and down the line. You know, I'm at a conference this week with a lot of college students and even high school students. And I give my normal talk to these kids, and I'm amazed at how much the kids want to talk about IVF, in vitro fertilization, the number of questions they have, but the way it's on their mind. It's on their mind at the age of 19 in a way that I've never seen with young people before. And that tells me that even the possibility of conceiving artificially is luring people to do things that certainly would be unimaginable under any other circumstance, and is probably distorting a lot of their decision-making about whether to marry and who to pick out to marry and how seriously they have to take the decision to marry in the first place. They can have all of these kind of material considerations and have the idea that it is possible to, you know, for everything to be adapted to them and their desires, that anybody with money can do anything they want. And somebody like Carmen Diaz, you know, has all the money she wants, and she can pretty much do what she wants. And, you know, in a way, it may be just as well that she's not having any kids, because it doesn't sound like she's motherhood material, given the way she's talking. But it is kind of a shame that her words are going to be used to contribute to this kind of consumer culture around kids.
Dr. Jennifer Roback Morris is founding president of the Ruth Institute, based in San Marcos, California. She taught economics for 15 years at Yale and George Mason Universities, and she's authored the books Smart Sex and Love in Economics. You can find out more about the Ruth Institute under the Listen on Demand page at issuesetc.org. Jennifer, thanks for being our guest.
You're welcome.
When we come back, we're going to spend some time with Bobby Ross Jr. of GetReligion.org talking about media coverage of two recent Supreme Court decisions, the abortion buffer zones and the HHS mandate. Stay tuned. The eyes of a wounded child, because hell is for children.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
No matter the size, big or small, RP Lumber can deliver it all. From pickups to one tons to box trucks and booms. Everywhere you look, you see blue. RP Blue. RP prides itself in customer service. RP will deliver quality products to your home, business, or job site. And you can be sure of timely delivery on clean trucks with courteous drivers. So when you think of service, think blue. RP Blue. With over 50 local community locations, for 37 years, RP Lumber.
Contending for truth in an age of anti-truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
The Church's Music from the 20th Century. The 17th Century. The 11th Century. The 8th Century. The 4th Century. The best of the Church's music from the past 2,000 years. LutheranPublicRadio.org.